Brian, how you doing?
Doing well, man. How are we doing today?
Good. Have you ever looked that up? Like, if you go back to when it just used to rotate every year automatically, how much has the All-Star game actually impacted it?
Well, yeah, I think it's something we love to talk about. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the exact numbers, but, I mean, so much of it depends on, you know, whether you have a Madison Bumgarner ready to go in Game 7 or if you have home field advantage, you know. And last year, obviously, that made a little bit more difference for the Giants. But, the thing that it kills me, the hypocrisy maybe is the wrong word, but the way that the All-Star game is selected and the fact that it means something is just bizarre. I mean, it's never, if you were ever going to sit down and create a way to honor the best players of your sport from scratch, there's no way in a million years you would come up with the system that we have right now. I really, really hope it's one of the things that the new commissioner, Rob Manfred, looks at and changes in his first couple years. I mean, I understand he doesn't want to do it right away because it was Bud Selig's thing and he doesn't want it to look like a slap in his face that he changes immediately. But I do hope over the next year or two we see them address it and really come up with a better solution.
What do you think would be a better solution?
Well, just don't attach it to home field advantage in the World Series. Because, I mean, we've got managers, you know, Ned Yost is talking about, you know, selecting Brock Holt instead of Alex Rodriguez or other guys for the All-Star game because he wants a utility guy who can play positions late in the game, you know. And that's not how this is supposed to go. That's not how you're supposed to determine who's an All-Star. A lot of people in Boston are upset because they think that, you know, a guy like Xander Bogaerts or Mookie Betts deserves an All-Star nod ahead of Brock Holt. I mean, Brock Holt's having a fine season. He's having a good season. It's nice to see him honored. But he's not having the best offensive season of any Boston player. But he's the one to get the nod specifically because he can help in late-game situations. So Ned Yost can try to get home field advantage for the American League and maybe his Royals again for this year. And it's just, you know, you look at that and you say, well, okay, let's get rid of the attachment. Let's get rid of the knee-jerk reaction to making the game count that happened after the infamous tie game. Let's get rid of that and let's just make it what it was supposed to be, an exhibition.
I wholeheartedly agree. The one thing about baseball is, to me, it's the best All-Star game because you can still play it at a high level because there's no contact, so the pitchers throw hard, the batters, they try to swing, guys are diving to make great catches. To me, it is baseball with the best players. They play for one or two innings, which I don't have an issue with. Speaking of the All-Star, Alex Rodriguez not getting an out, do you think that has to do with kind of how he was perceived prior to this year, or is it a manager going with his gut to try to decide why he's doing it?
Well, you know, I think there are a lot of ways that you could look at it. I think nobody in baseball is really surprised that he didn't get selected to the team, that he wasn't put on the final ballot. There's still a lot of people that, you know, he has rubbed the wrong way and don't necessarily want to see him in baseball showcase game, no matter how good of a season he has. Because, I mean, by the numbers, he's what, fifth or sixth in the AL and OPS. You know, he absolutely deserves to be there. His play has warranted that. But, you know, there are people that still aren't happy with him. I think he's, in terms of fan perception, he's winning some of the people over with the way that, you know, he's produced at the plate this year. I think that helps a lot, the fact that the Yankees are in first place. And he said all the right things. You know, he agreed to donate, to work out a deal with the Yankees, to donate that bonus money to charity. You know, that certainly is a nice thing for him to do. There's a lot of money going to help a lot of people that need it. You know, so he's kind of turning the tide a little bit. He might see him picked as an injury replacement, you know, sometime in the next couple of days, but I really don't think that's going to happen.
Ryan Fagan joins us from the Sporting News. Which race are you most intrigued by heading into when the second half of the season starts?
I'm curious to see what's going to happen with the American League Central. You know, I mean, you look at the Tigers, and they're a team that has kind of been stumbling along at 500. You know, still have the hitters. You know, Victor Martinez came back, and I know Miguel Cabrera's on the DL for a little while. But I don't think that the Royals are going to run away and hide in that time, you know, as long as the Tigers can stay around 500, a couple games above. What really interests me with them is what are they going to do? You know, they've got a long history, especially in the recent history, of going out and making big-time impact acquisitions at the trade deadline, the non-waiver trade deadline on July 31st. You know, last year they went out and got David Price. This year they're going to go get Aroldis Chapman or Johnny Cueto for the Reds. Are they going to try to swing a deal to get Cole Hamels in a Tigers uniform? Are they going to go out and maybe find some way else to make a big impact? You know, I just think the Tigers team we see now is not going to be the Tigers team we see take the field in the first couple weeks of August. Then, you know, do the Royals have enough pitching right now? I mean, Joe Blanton's been a part of the rotation lately. That's not a rotation that's going to win a World Series. So do they go out and make some moves? Can the Twins keep it up? You know, with the young kids they have, is Byron Buxton going to come back and make the type of impact that people thought? I think he can, being the number one prospect in baseball. We saw the kid Miguel Sano hit his first home run the other night. So that to me is interesting to see how all those teams and the Indians too. You know, the Indians might have the best rotation in the American League, and they're sitting there, you know, well out right now. But I think they have the pieces to make another run at it.
What do you make of the Houston Astros? You know what? Maybe St. Louis is onto something by tapping into their scouting. But in all seriousness, do you think they can keep this Cinderella run up?
I think they need to do something. I think they have the pieces that can compete. You know, the Angels are playing very good baseball right now. I think a lot of people expect them, or at least wouldn't be surprised if they catch the Astros and overtake them a little bit. I think they need to do something with the rotation. You know, and that's why you keep hearing them tied, you know, at least speculatively, to Cole Hamels and Johnny Cueto and those types of players. Dallas Keuchel has been fantastic. He's been a number one guy. He hasn't been through any sort of a playoff push at all. None of these guys really have. You know, Lance McCullers has been amazing as a rookie coming in there. You know, Vincent Velasquez has done a great job as well. But these are young guys, and they need somebody else in that rotation, you know, guys that have a little bit of playoff experience, the postseason push experience, if they're going to, I think, hold off what, you know, is what could be a hard-charging Angels team.
In the National League, we have, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals, really kind of the class of the of Major League Baseball on the field, definitely not off the field. The Dodgers in San Francisco, the Giants, you know, they know how to win. They've done it historically the last few seasons. You mentioned Baumgartner, you know, the great pitching matchup there. Is this the Dodgers' year? That was the team I picked even a few weeks ago. Or is this going to be another good but not great finish for the Dodgers?
Well, I think a lot of people are curious to see what they do with the rotation. You know, obviously, you got, you know, Zach Greinke and Clayton Kershaw up top, and that's a 1-2 combo that any team in baseball would take right now, no questions asked. But behind that, though, you know, they don't have these lockdown guys. Brett Anderson has been better than a lot of people expected on a short free agent deal, but, you know, he hasn't had exactly a long track record of staying healthy. You know, aside from that, they didn't expect to be giving, you know, a dozen starts to Carlos Frias or Mike Bolsinger at the beginning of the year. They expected, you know, guys like Brandon McCarthy in there, and they're not there now. So, I mean, did they make a move? The Dodgers, they're not in let's just do everything we can to get to the playoffs mode. They're in we need to win a World Series mode. And if that's the impetus, do they go out and get Cole Hamels? Do they go out and get Johnny Cueto, another guy to add and make it a trifecta at the top of that rotation? I really think if they're going to make a move, it's going to be something along those lines. So if they do, then they become a team that can win a World Series. But I really think I wouldn't put them as a favorite right now because of the way that rotation is, you know, quite honestly.
Is there a team you're expecting to make a great second-half push?
You know, I mentioned the Indians a little bit ago. I can really see that team making a big run. You just look at that rotation. You know, you have Corey Kluber, won the Cy Young last year. You know, Danny Salazar seems like he's figured it out a little bit. You know, obviously Carlos Carrasco took, you know, a no-hitter into the ninth inning, two outs in the ninth inning. What was it last week? You know, Trevor Bauer is striking out almost nine guys per nine innings. They really have so many swing and miss guys in that rotation, and guys that can get consistently into the sixth inning. And that's what you want. That's your baseline. And if you can put together a run of 12 to 15 games where your starters are going six and seven innings, giving up one and two runs, you have a chance to make a nice long run and a good push. And I think that they have those pieces. They have to get more production from some of the hitters, guys like Carlos Santana. You know, he's after a fantastic year, he's batting averages down around 215, 220. You know, Michael Bourne hasn't done much of anything. Maybe it's time to move on from him a little bit. You know, really outside of Michael Brantley and Jason Kipnis, and Kipnis is, you know, really one of the an MVP contender right now. You know, maybe David Murphy. They just haven't gotten the production they need. You know, Yan Gomes missed a lot of time. He's come back, and he hasn't done nearly as much offensively as he did last year. So, you know, if they get Santana and Gomes back to the level that they were at last year, excuse me, and the pitchers keep going, I think that that's a team that can make a run.
And lastly, in the American League East, the Yankees, game and a half up on the Jays, two up on Baltimore, two and a half up on Tampa, and Boston's still not out of it. They're only five games back with half the season to play. Who do you like in that division, number one? And number two, if you were Alex Anthopoulos, which pitchers would you try to acquire to make a run in the second half?
If I was the Blue Jays GM, the first thing I would do is try to make something work with Cole Hamill. Second thing I would try to do is try to make something work with Johnny Cueto. You know, they're not really in a position where they need to pick up a fourth or fifth starter. You know, they need guys that make them better, and not just make them better enough to get to the postseason, but give them a chance to win in the postseason. You know, and I understand that the cost is high, but I mean, the Blue Jays are the only team in baseball, the only franchise in baseball that hasn't been to the postseason since the strike. You know, and that they haven't, they're the only team that hasn't been there in the 2000s. You know, that's not a designation that you want to have. I really think that the division this year is theirs for the taking. If they can add, and I'll say this, it's not just, I mean, they're not one pitcher away from being the dominant favorites in that division. They need help. And so if you're going to put together some sort of situation where you add a couple of starters and a reliever or two, then maybe you don't go after number one guy. If you just have to, you know, spread your prospects a little bit around in terms of picking up guys. But I really think that they need to do something big, something splashy, because you're not going to find many years where the AL East can be won with 88 wins. And I think this is a year that's very, very possible. And with that offense, I mean, obviously the Blue Jays offense is amazing. They have the offense that can win if they get any sort of support, consistent support from the rotation.
Ryan, really appreciate the rundown. Enjoy the All-Star game.
Great. Thanks.